from HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 364, recorded live Thursday, March 21st, 2013. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik, offering the best in developer tools and support, online at telerik.com, and by franklins.net, makers of GesturePack, a powerful gesture recording and recognition system for Microsoft Kinect for Windows developers. Details at gesturepak.com. In this episode, Scott talks with Jared Parsons about VS Vim.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. I'm on the phone here. I've got Jared Parsons. How are you?
Doing great.
You are the creator of VS Vim. Is that right?
That's right.
So this is a tool that plugs into Visual Studio that tries to make it like Vim or brings Vim to Visual Studio. What is the goal here?
The goal is to, it's exactly that. It's to bring the Vim key experience, the Vim key binding experience into Visual Studio and to make people who are comfortable with Vim, who have been using Vim their whole lives and switching to Visual Studio to make it a better editor for them.
Okay. Now, this interview should be part, like, convince me why I should convert to your religion.
Uh-huh.
Part, how could you make Visual Studio do something that is so against its very nature?
Okay.
I think those two topics would be really interesting. So first, like JK, what is the whole cursor thing?
It's HJKL, so right where your right hand sits on the keyboard, you have the core motion sensors. You have J and K, you got your up and down, and H and L, you got your left and right. So the idea of them is keep your hands on the keyboard, and mm-hmm. you don't have to be constantly switching to the mouse. Your editor is right there, it's all in your hands, and it's really powerful and really fast.
But don't you switch modes? I understand in Vim there's insert mode and overtype mode. Is that right? Or insert mode and command mode?
Vim has a lot of modes. and when you start developing Vim, you find out about all of them. Mm-hmm. Typically, though, people use about three modes. The most common mode is command or normal mode, where that's where you have the HJKL. So it's you have very built-in like movement keys, edit keys. It's really easy to delete lines, swap lines, copy things out, move things around, paste, search in, through the file for various text formats, various text items. And then you have insert mode. Insert mode is what most people think of in an editor. You mm-hmm. type, and it puts in text for you. Insert mode in Vim is pretty straightforward. There's a lot of kind of esoteric features around it, but most people use insert mode for just inserting text. And then the third more popular mode is visual mode. Mm-hmm. And visual is when you start selecting text in the editor. And so it's very similar to normal mode in that you have, it's more of a command structure where you're moving the mouse around, you're yanking text and deleting text, but it's based off of the selection more than just what if you said delete line, or it will delete the selection instead of deleting the line.
And how do I switch between the modes?
Oh, there's lots of different ways.
Yeah, I thought it was escape. Is escape one of the ways, or that like is that the least popular way to switch modes?
Escape is getting out of insert mode is where you'll most commonly use escape. You can also use control close bracket to get out of escape. Visual mode, earlier I said there's lots of modes. There's actually three different visual modes. And really, if you get down to it, they're more like, there's a couple more. But there's kind of three different visual modes, line, character, and block. So line mode is when all of your selections are line-based. So getting to that is Shift-V, uppercase V. And what that does is it'll do a line-based selection. So it'll select the current line, and as you start moving the cursor around, it'll select the entire line from this where your cursor started to where your cursor is now. And so that's really good if you're doing... If you've been coding for 10 minutes, you realize it's crap. You just want to select it all and delete it. Mm-hmm. Character mode is more of what you're familiar with a mouse selection. It'll select just a continuous stream of text, and you can operate on that, forwards okay. or backwards. And block mode is something I think Visual Studio started adding again in 2010, where you can actually select columns of text.
Right.
And you can select columns of text, delete, and then you can even insert on those columns of text. And when you're done, one of the most common things is if you want to add like a case or something, you'll select a column of text, you'll go to insert mode, type case, and then when you jump out of insert mode, it'll actually replicate whatever edit operations you've done through every column that you previously had selected.
And do you have to hold these modes in your head, right? There's no like icon that tells you this, is there?
The bottom of the screen in the status bar will tell you what mode you're currently in. And it'll actually, if you really look at it, when you do things like if you go from block mode to insert mode, it'll actually show you all of the kind of sub modes that it has in there. But generally, they're down at the bottom of the screen.
And do these, does this really make you faster? Like, you know, I'm always arguing with Phil Hack about Dvorak because he switched to Dvorak, but he continues to type on a keyboard that's QWERTY. So, you know, he always jokes that like Dvorak is a security mechanism, right? You just make it so no one can ever use your computer because you're in Dvorak mode. But, you know, I don't see the dramatic like improvement in typing speed. He just seems to dig it. And I understand that Vim people like swear by this is way more productive, but is it? Or is it just a preference?
So I have to kind of agree with Phil in some ways because I actually use Dvorak too.
Oh, and freaks of nature. What's wrong with you?
Well, I use Dvorak and I've never remapped my keyboard. So my Vim binding. So like, I'm sure people are hearing me struggle to think of what keys to press. And it's because I can't even look at my keyboard and tell you what keys I press.
This is a muscle memory.
Yeah, it's really a muscle memory. So why is Vim? So Vim, why is Vim better? And I think it mainly comes down to the fact, like for me, it's what you can do in just a few keystrokes, like especially it's an editor, it has all these commands, but they're really geared towards coding. Like, for instance, like the percent key will jump between braces. So if you're in the middle of something, you want to grab a block and switch it around, it's a real quick key combination. It's a delete percent, search the next one, paste, done.
And so like in VS, you would say control left brace or right brace, right? That's how you switch between braces.
Right, but you would have to initialize a selection from your keyboard. You'd have to start a selection somehow from your keyboard, then use the jump brace command, hope your language service didn't deselect it, then cut it, then reach over to your arrow keys or your page up and down, jump up, or use control left to implement find, and then you have to enter, and you're constantly, the act of kind of cutting and pasting in Visual Studio and searching between text, there's a lot of different things that do it, and it's not on your keyboard. Some of it involves the mouse. If you've worked in Visual Studio long enough like me, you know what the key combinations are, but they often involve different windows, and the focus jumps between the two are not always crisp. And with Vim, it's all designed to, it's basically designed without a mouse, so it's all right there. The searching, the pasting, having multiple yank register. So in Visual Studio, when you cut and paste, you have one clipboard that you're pasting to and cutting to. In Vim, though, you have roughly 26 places that you can cut and paste to.
I was on the phone last night with a friend who's working on a productivity tool, and they wanted to watch me work. And I had Outlook and Gmail and Trello open. And when I was running around in Gmail, I mentioned to my friend who also used Gmail that there's these hotkeys and how like fundamental hotkeys are to websites now. And then I showed him like, you know, GI, go to inbox, which seems totally intuitive. And JK, which happens to be like the standard for going up and down on the web now, and went through kind of a standard inbox zero operation and cleared my inbox in Gmail and realized that even though there's like 40, 50 keystrokes that you could learn key bindings in Gmail, I think I used 7. And then I realized that that's like the limit of my ability. That's all I can remember. You know what I mean? But those are the ones that I use. So when I hear about Vim, I'm like, oh man, you know, control K, control Q, hit left shift, you know, and the stand on your foot. It seems impossible. I only have enough room to hold 5 or 6, maybe 7 key things to remember. Am I not smart enough to do Vim?
Absolutely not.
I'm absolutely not smart enough. I'm glad that you finally said that, Jared.
Absolutely not smart. You're definitely. So Vim, the set of commands you can do in Vim is daunting. It has an extensive help documentation system, and it is baffling sometimes when people are like, how close are you to doing all of them? And I'm like, nowhere close. Like, this is bafflingly like complex in places. Mm-hmm. But most people really settle down with just a few core commands. I mean, I can probably list my most common commands are delete, yank, search, and insert. And those are, and jump word. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of like five or six core commands that I use daily all the time. Mm-hmm. But like you said, and I think that makes me a much more productive programmer, because when you really get down to it, it's navigating your code, inserting your code, and effectively moving things around.
Mm-hmm. Definitely Vim needs, I'm sure there's something out there that does this, but like if ever there was a thing that needed like achievements where you could like build your gamer score based entirely on using Vim, that was like, I know there's some games like learn Vim by playing multiplayer dungeon games and stuff like that. But yeah, I would need to be encouraged to learn more than five or six, I think.
Yes. Well, it's one of those things when you start using it, you get comfortable with just a few commands, and most of the Vim tutorials out there, if you search for Vim tutorial, there are plenty out there, and they will just introduce you to the core commands, and that's enough to make you productive. And it's when you start talking to other people and they're like, oh, you didn't know that you could do this to make that command easier. And that's kind of where people start to grow. But I still, when I talk to most people really kind of are hardcore down into a small number of commands. I actually used to think I was more of a, when I started writing VisVim, VSVim a long time ago, I'd kind of pegged myself as a moderate Vim user.
Mm-hmm.
And then people started filing bug reports.
Mm.
And I quickly realized it's like, wow, I'm going to have to knock myself down a few notches.
And these
here.
Bug reports are like, like, this is not the way it's supposed to behave because it behaves this way.
Yes. I mean, you get, Vim is such a, like I said, it's a very focused editor and people get so ingrained in the muscle memory. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get bugs where it's like, I inserted this, I deleted a word, hit undo, and the cursor was one place to the left of where it should have been.
Shouldn't you just like give up at that point? Wouldn't you just like, there's no way you're going to be able to fix that, right? Because you'd fix it and it would break something else.
That's no. I have to have it right. Now I'm a, like, it's, if it's not right, like, people won't use it. Like, people, Vim, having cursor position is something that it's really easy to get wrong, and especially with undos and redos, but it's fundamental to how people code Vim, because they're so used to knowing, like, when I yank this, the cursor will jump here, then I can hit paste, it'll put it before the cursor or after the cursor. It's very fundamental. And
I imagine that as being like, if you were trying to write a Mario Brothers clone, and it didn't behave like the way we all remember the Mario Brothers to work. You know, I jumped onto the, and then I landed and I didn't land right. And then I couldn't do my combo. It's like, oh man, right? It's all about combos in Vim, isn't it?
Exactly. And macro recording, especially. So one of the other things, one of the most powerful things of Vim is macro recording. You can actually, by pressing QR, you can use one of the yank registers that I talked about to record an edit session. And so if you're doing this repetitive edit, like you need to edit a text file and you want to delete the first word and paste something else in, you can record yourself doing it once and then replay it against all of the different lines in the file or a subset of the lines. Mm. And with macro recording, cursor position is extremely important because it's depending upon every single time you execute this command, the cursor will go to the exact position necessary for the next command to complete successfully.
Is macro recording still in Visual Studio 2012, or is that one of the controversial things that got pulled?
That is one of the controversial things that got pulled.
That's just scandalous.
Yep. It was a hard cut. I remember when they told me they were going to, when I was actually working on one of the teams, and I said they were going to do it, and I was very shocked that they thought they could do it and that they pulled it off. But it did impact a lot of people.
Yeah,
it was quite a burden in terms of maintenance.
Because it was Visual Basic for applications behind it, presumably.
Yes. Well, it was a lot of things. And it was a bit of the VB code base, a bit of VBA, and a bit of always one release behind. And so it was a significant maintenance burden for the team. And so it was a hard cut, but they had some justification for it.
Mm-hmm. So if I, and no offense to anyone who has a particular religion, but if I convert to your religion, Jared,
okay,
you know, is it going to be welcoming to me, or am I just going to have people who've like read farther into the book of Vim that are going to like look down on me as I struggle to learn this new incantation?
I find that the Vim community is actually really open because everyone wants to tell you about their piece of black magic that makes their life better. And so it's not you're doing it wrong or whatever. They're like, no, have you heard about this cool thing? Like every time I like talk to like a person about Vim and when I see them in the real world, it's never like, oh, you did this bad or this is a terrible way to do things. They're always like, did you know you can do this? I find it to be a very positive community. Mm-hmm. Somewhat one-upmanship sometimes, but overall, it's just a bunch of people saying, oh man, there's this, you can really like make that faster by doing this motion instead of that motion. I find it to be a very fun community.
Well, and ultimately, I think that's exemplary of a community that's healthy and fun. I mean, I always use religion as the metaphor for these kinds of things, because from my perspective, religion is something that you're really excited about. And if someone has a thing, whether their religion is ReSharper or whether it's an actual religion, they're always going to be like, have you heard the news? Have you heard the news? You know, and then they'll tell you all about their thing. And that's kind of what I do, is when I find something I'm totally jazzed about, I want everyone to know. So presumably the same is true with Vim people who just want the world to see the light, and that light is Vim.
Exactly. Visual Studio, though, unfortunately creates a bit of a paradox because it introduces polytheism, because you have people who both love Vim and ReSharper. And they want the two religions to be compatible with each other.
So let's talk about add-ins, and then we'll talk about ReSharper. So you have an add-in that runs in any version of Visual Studio that's not Express, right?
Correct. Anything 2010 and later.
Okay, 2010 and 2012. And it's the same add-in, or it's compiled differently for the two?
It's the same add-in. It's compiled once, and it runs in all of the versions of Visual Studio. And it even runs in... Visual Studio has what they call the isolated shell, and some people productize the isolated shell. Like, for instance, Atmel Studio is a Visual Studio shell implementation, which is for embedded device development, and it runs in there as well.
And this is something you just do on the side? This is not like a business?
Yep, no, it's just something I do in my spare time.
Uh-huh. And how long have you been doing this?
probably since 2009.
And is this open source? If you get hit by a bus, what happens?
It's completely open source. It took a bit of doing, but it's open source. I have a good set of community contributions to the project, so it's all under Apache 2.
Mm-hmm. And what took time? Like, why does it matter? Is it because it's a moonlighting thing?
Yeah. So when I started this in 2009, I've actually released a couple of things and open source at Microsoft, and it's gotten progressively better, but I've usually at the time been kind of pushing what was established at the time.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I released was like PInvoke Interopt Assistant, and back in like 2006 or 7, and mm-hmm. that was kind of a crushing thing. It took about 6 months and of me like working. Eventually I gave up and thought I would never get it released. And then the CLR team had an interest in shipping it, and one of their PMs did a lot of work for me mm-hmm. and got it released. And then a few years later, when I started to work on VSVim, one of the big motivations at the time, VSVim actually kind of started out as a toy. It was just, we were working on Visual Studio 2010. They had a brand new editor. It was the WPF editor. Mm-hmm. And Vim clones that I'd been using in the past didn't work anymore because our shims weren't working, and it was in the middle of development, so no one had access to the bits but us. And I was just kind of bored one night and was like, yeah, I want at least my little three commands back that I like. Mm-hmm. And I wrote it, and then it kind of taught, like I wrote it, and then I showed it to a few people, and people took it from me and started using it, and so then I had to support it. And at that time, people actually started pushing me to release VSVim for the fact that it was good samples for people who wanted to write Visual Studio Editor extensions. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it also an exercise for what is literally possible in the editor? Because one of the things that I think is interesting about it, whenever I hear about stuff like Code Rush or ReSharper or VSVim, I'm thinking to myself, here is a complete reimagining about how this is supposed to behave. And I always presume that at some point you're going to hit a limitation of what's possible. And then you'll literally just, we got to stop now. Sorry, can't catch that keystroke, or can't, you know, it really wants this behavior and I really want that one, and never the twain shall meet. It's over. You know, good times are over.
It is, but I'm just not very good at admitting defeat. Especially one thing you mentioned there, keystrokes. Mm-hmm. That is the ultimate challenge. Raymond Chin wrote a blog post called like Chutes and Ladders, where I'm trying to get the keystroke that you're trying to get, so I'm going to do this, and then you're going to build the wall, and I'm going to build a ladder taller than you. Mm-hmm. Keystrokes in Visual Studio is the ultimate games of walls and ladders. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone is fighting for the keystrokes, and I know VSVim tries to catch keystrokes at least, I think, 12 or 13 different ways.
Really? Just to make sure you don't miss them all?
Yes. And their Visual Studio has a mechanism for handing keystrokes and then a book of exceptions.
Too.
And it's very challenging to find them all. But I constantly email the guys in charge of it and show them the new trick I found.
But I thought that the new editor was supposed to be pretty straightforward. You have, like, you know, key down and that's it. Who else could be stealing keystrokes from you?
So the new editor itself, so Visual Studio has the new editor is very well factored. So you just have the WPF editor, and the WPF editor itself is very beautiful. I love it. And I actually have, VSVim is actually factored into, I talk to the editor and another part which talks to Visual Studio mm-hmm. on top of it. But Visual Studio is a 20-year-old product, mm-hmm. at least. Then you have people who are still overriding pre-processed message. You have people who are hooking Windows messages.
Who are people?
Various,
like, features? Features,
yes.
I see. And are these features in Visual Studio? Like, you might say, oh, the Server Explorer really wants that message, and they're cheating in the way they ask for it, or whatever. I'm just making something up. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a good example is the debugger. If you're debugging in 64-bit mode, Visual Studio doesn't support edit and continue in 64-bit mode.
Sure.
And there's one part of the debugger that actually will override I believe it's pre-processed message, and what they do is when they override it, they are trying, if they see a keystroke come mm-hmm. while you're debugging and in 64-bit mode, they pop up a message box that says, can't edit the buffer. But I'm not trying to edit the buffer.
You're just trying to move around.
L to move around. Yeah. And I actually,
that's a good one.
I have to admit a dirty secret. I had to use Reflection to beat that one.
Oh, I think most people who are listening have to use Reflection every day. So I would not feel bad about the one time you had to use Reflection.
And so in that one I had to, like, dig in there, find that component, mm-hmm. figure out when it would run, and insert my trick into it to get it to let me have the keystroke in that particular case.
How often is Visual Studio trying to put the cursor somewhere and then you're trying to move it and then you get flickering where it's like, no, I really want it over here, and then you slam the cursor back to where you want it to be? Like, are you keeping a whole parallel universe of your own theoretical text editor and then you're trying to make Visual Studio reflect what you believe reality is? Or do you let Visual Studio hold state for you?
I let Visual Studio hold, in terms of editor state, like where's the cursor, what is the selection, I let Visual Studio hold all of that. Mm. And it's really critical that I do that, because one of the things I wanted to do with VSVim was I want people who are comfortable with Vim to be comfortable with VSVim. But I also want Visual Studio to be awesome. Like, I want IntelliSense. Mm-hmm. If people have smart tips and things like that, I want the cursor position and selection to be correct so all of these things continue to pop up.
Mm.
I don't, if I start holding like a side state from the editor then and don't give the editor the true state, then those features stop lighting up.
Right. So the more you try to fool Visual Studio, the more you're going to basically turn off the features that are useful about it.
Exactly.
Can you still get IntelliSense and things like that? And what mode in VSVim would I get things in IntelliSense?
So IntelliSense works exactly like if you're just using Visual Studio. When you're in insert mode and you're typing code, IntelliSense will pop up exactly as if VSVim was not installed. Mm-hmm. And there have been, and it does actually create a bit of a conflict because how I should interpret keystrokes when IntelliSense is up.
Mm-hmm.
And Vim actually has this thing called Omni-Completion, which is very similar to IntelliSense, but they have a different name for it. And I have tended to, their experiences, I don't feel is as good as Visual Studio's.
Well, I mean, IntelliSense is different from do your best to auto-complete anything that looks familiar.
Exactly. And what I've done in some cases, I've broken from standard behavior in terms of how keystrokes work when IntelliSense is up, because mm-hmm. The majority feedback I've gotten is let IntelliSense win. IntelliSense is the coolest thing about Visual Studio. Make it as good as possible and natural as possible.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I've had a lot of interesting conversations with people because, for example, I use Sublime Text as one of my text editor replacements. Basically, I have three editors: Visual Studio, Notepad 2, because I've always used it for years, and now more recently Sublime Text. And Sublime Text has an IntelliSense-like behavior that is basically, like you said, omni-completion, which is the if I've seen a token I've seen anywhere ever before, try to auto-complete that, which is not IntelliSense. It's dumb sense, but it's right often enough that it feels like magic.
Exactly. And Vim actually has a mode exactly like that where you can hit control N and get it to show you, for instance, like basically look at the word to the left and find all of the words in the open set of open documents, which are a superset of that word and display them in IntelliSense. Right. And I have actually implemented that.
Oh, that's cool.
And if you want to do control N, it'll pop it up in insert mode. But in general, though, people want to see like Visual Studio IntelliSense. And so that's what we give them.
Now, I thought when I hit escape and go like colon W Q bang, I'm into like a little command line.
Yes.
Does that exist?
Yes. That is the other, probably the most popular mode outside of visual, normal, and insert. It's command, like some people call that command mode, some people call it command line editing mode, but that certainly exists.
And where is that? Do you make your own little buffer and hover over the command line editor? Where does that go?
So that goes in. I've implemented it as kind of a margin. So like if you have the breakpoint margin, which is just kind of on the left side of your screen and the scroll, the command line margin is just on the bottom of your screen. And so that's where when you're using VSVim, it'll replicate in many ways the status bar of like GVim or something. It'll show you what mode you're currently in. And when you hit colon, it basically pops up an editor box right there so that you can type in the command line mode and run Vim commands.
Okay. So that is a, you call it a margin, indicating that a margin is an actual thing that Visual Studio knows about. And you're using that feature as it is. You just happen to be doing one that's bottom aligned rather than left aligned.
Exactly.
That's cool. Is that owner draw or they have the idea that you could have text in a margin?
They basically allow you, they just have, when you do a margin as an add-in, you just say, I want this much space, and they give you a canvas. And I, in this particular case, I just throw up, I have a little XAML control, which switches between a couple of little things that people like, and it's pretty standard. There's no owner draw or issue like that. That's cool. I'm by no means a WPF expert, and I can make it work.
And I can control scroll and make sizes bigger and small, and it looks natural, and it has the same text as my... And the same metrics as the kind of text I'm using.
Yes.
That's cool.
I do have some theming issues I need to work out in 2012, but in general, it gets the expectation that people want.
Yeah, when you change themes in 2012, and now in 2012 update 2, 2012.2, they've added the blue theme back. A lot of people don't realize that. After all of the gnashing of teeth about the gray theme, they've gone and added the blue theme back, and no one cares.
Well, update 2 is not officially out yet, so some people are reluctant to update it to it.
Yeah, you're right. As of the time of this recording, it's a CTP4 or something like that. But I thought it was cool that they added the blue one, but now I'm noticing that ultimately things will look weird until you restart because a lot of different add-ins aren't ready for that kind of dynamic theme changing.
Yes, and responding to theme changing an add-in is... It's not well – I've had trouble finding documentation on it, and I've been fortunate enough to find some of the devs involved in it, and they've helped me out there. Mm-hmm. But there's still – it's especially one of the problems you have is if you have an add-in which works on 2010, which has no theming, and then you have to load it in both 2010 and 12, it can get a little complex to keep your theming correct.
How often are you updating this? Is this signed and up on the Visual Studio Gallery?
It's on the Visual Studio Gallery. I update the cadence I try to have is a planned release one every 2 months, and I do unplanned releases as dictated. If someone finds a critical bug and I deem it to be impactful, then I will do a point release as soon as I can get it out the door and get confirmation that it works. But I try to do planned releases every once. I've tried a lot to get it to 1 month, but that usually kind of stresses too hard, and so it usually comes out to about 2 months.
Sure, and that would also make it your primary hobby, which is a big deal.
Exactly.
Yeah, And now back to what we were talking about in the middle where we said ReSharper and getting along with ReSharper. And we're using ReSharper as the kind of the canonical example because between ReSharper and CodeRush, everyone's got some add-on that will conflict with another add-on. And sometimes I think ReSharper and add-ons like it get unfairly blamed because it's like something crashed. Well, I've got ReSharper. And that's just saying I've got something that's a third-party thing. How do you get along with third-party controls? And if something crashes, how do I know if it's VS Vim or if it's Visual Studio that crashed?
So I try to get along as well as possible third-party controls. For instance, ReSharper is enormously popular, and there is a significant number of people who want both VS Vim and ReSharper in there. And when it comes right down to it, people usually pay money for ReSharper. And if you're going to kick out an add-in, you're going to kick out the one you paid for or the one you didn't pay for. So I kind of do my best to accede to them. And I do have to – ReSharper, I have to play a lot of tricks with.
So you actually have code that's like, ah, you're in my room with me, ReSharper.
Yes.
I'm going to do different things.
Exactly. One of the big things is ReSharper has this great feature for refactoring. Like when you can do like live template editing where basically you can like click on a local, click rename, and it will actually open up when you type, it'll both change the local that you have, you're currently editing in every use of that local in the method simultaneously as you're typing. And to do that, it actually creates a big conflict because they select the text that they're editing. And so VSVim sees a text select, and it's like, oh, I should go into visual mode now because you selected something. And people will turn off – if I do that when they're trying to edit live template, they'll turn off VSVim.
I see. Because so they're actually programmatically selecting it so they can do their job, and VSVim thinks that a user-initiated action caused that.
Exactly. And so I have actually a pretty significant component which – they do some other things to the buffer when they're doing refactoring. And what I do is I'm constantly looking for that queue to be added to the buffer. And I have actually, what I've done is, when I said there's lots of modes in Vim, I added a mode. And the mode is called external edit, meaning that ReSharper, Visual Assist, Snippets, something is happening and we should do nothing to interfere with it.
That's cool.
And so when I see a live template pop up, VSVim basically throws its hands up in the air and says, I'll just stay out of the way for now. And as soon as the template kind of gets finished editing and they remove their markers from the buffer, then bam, it goes right back into insert mode and usually provides a pretty seamless experience.
Very cool. Well, I mean, I think I can speak for the community, even those that don't use Vim, that what you're doing and what people are doing, single individuals like Mads and like yourself that have add-ins that are cared about and loved and appreciated by presumably thousands. I mean, how many people have downloaded your...
I'm almost up to 100,000 now. I think I was right at the border.
Yeah, see, you're doing the community a service, and we all appreciate that you care enough to make an editor that we either love to use or are forced to use, depending on how you feel about Visual Studio, a better place to live. So on behalf of everybody, we appreciate you.
Well, I also want to say thanks to the community because there are tons of bugs I never could have fixed without like awesome users. And because people have so many setups, like I have virtual machines, like one with Visual Assist, one with ReSharper and a bunch of other different combinations. But people email me and they'll say a bug report and I'm like, what do you have installed in your machine? And they'll send me a list of sometimes like 15 extensions.
Wow.
It's like, I don't know how to replicate that.
Doctor, it hurts when I do that. Don't do that.
Yeah. And I've had other people that are like, VSVim is slow. And I'm like, well, what are you doing? And I've actually had very significant dialogue with just random people who filed bugs on GitHub. And if they had not put up with me and all of the things where I'm like, could you try this, try that, or handed them the bug builds and then had them send me some information back.
Well, it's a two-way street.
It's been impossible.
It's a two-way street. The fact that you cared enough to have a dialogue, you're both to be commended. So people can just go and Google with Bing or whatever and DuckDuckGo and find themselves VSVim and they'll have no trouble finding it?
Absolutely. Or you can just open up extensions and updates in Visual Studio, type in VSVim and there you go.
Even better. Don't have to browse. Thank you very much, Jared Parsons, for chatting with us today.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes. We'll see you again next week.